You're listening to Animal Tracks, brought to you by the American Veterinary Medical Association. I'm Michael Sanfilippo. Microchips greatly increase the chances that you'll get your pets back if they're lost or stolen. But microchips only work if the registration information is accurate. To remind pet owners to have their pets microchipped and to keep the registration information up to date, the AVMA and the American Animal Hospital Association have joined together to make August 15th Check the Chip Day. For more information about the importance of microchips, we spoke with Dr. Linda Lord, an associate professor at the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Lord has conducted research showing how effective microchips are in reuniting pets with their owners. Dr. Lord, welcome to Animal Tracks. To begin, can you explain what exactly is a microchip?
A microchip is a little passive device that has a unique number stored on it. It's just a little radio circuit. It's usually got a glass encasing around it, and it's about the size of a grain of rice. So it's very small, and it's simply implanted underneath the skin of an animal between its shoulder blades, and it stores that number to help identify the pet.
How exactly is it implanted in an animal? Is it painful?
You know, it's really not. It's the device is implanted with a needle. The needle is a little bigger than the needle that we would use, say, for a vaccination. But most animals tolerate it very, very well. Sometimes if we think that an animal is not going to, we can give them a light sedative. But in my experience, the vast majority of animals handle it just fine. You give them a little food treat, and they never even know that you implanted the chip. And it just takes seconds.
So exactly what kind of information, then, is held on the microchip?
All that's really stored on the microchip is an actual number, and that number is going to be 9, 10, or 15 digits long, and that number is unique for that animal. And so that number simply is a way that we can then link that with information that is going to be recorded in a database somewhere to help link the animal with the owner. So a lot of people think that their own information, their address, their phone number is actually stored on the microchip. It's not. It's simply the number that is on the microchip.
How does the process work then exactly? How does a microchip help reunite a person with their missing pet?
So it works by what we call radio frequency identification, and it is basically we have both animal shelters and veterinarians commonly in their offices and in the shelters have a device called a microchip scanner. And what the scanner does is, I like to think of it as, is it wakes the microchip up. So the microchip has a little passive device with energy that is sitting there saying, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm waiting to be read. And a scanner can be simply passed over an animal, and it will communicate at a certain frequency with that microchip, and that number is then relayed to the scanner and displayed on the on the scanner. And then whoever sees that can then read that number, call an appropriate database where the number is stored, call the company that hosts that database and say, okay, I've got this microchip. Do you have an owner information for this particular number? And then that information can be provided, the owner can be contacted, and that's how an owner is reunited with their pet based on the microchip.
What sort of research has been done, and what does it show us about the effectiveness of microchips?
You know, we've done a few studies here at Ohio State. We've looked both at the scanners, and we've also looked at how successful microchips are in terms of getting animals home out of shelters. First thing I'd say is that we found that the scanners are very effective. They're not 100%, nothing is, but there are certainly things that we do in terms of the technique we use the scanners, how we use them to read the microchip, and also if we scan an animal, say, more than once when they're in the animal shelter, that certainly increases our likelihood of reading it. So overall, I think they work very well. Mm-hmm. The second thing we found is that for animals that are entering a shelter, for the ones that had a microchip, we found that dogs were 2.5 times more likely to be found by their owner if they had a microchip versus the animals in the shelter that did not. And for cats, that difference was almost 40-fold, a much, much higher difference for cats. So much higher success rate for getting them back home.
Because microchips are so effective, do you think that they can replace the traditional identification tags that pets would typically wear on their collars?
Absolutely not. I am a huge proponent of visual identification. You think about a cat that you might see out that's wandering your neighborhood, and many people will just assume, oh, that's a stray cat, and it's, you know, and lo and behold, they'll start to feed it, and the cat will start to hang out at their house. And that cat, if it's not taken to an animal shelter or a veterinarian, the opportunity to read that chip never would occur. So what helps that cat is if it also has a collar on with a tag that can be read by somebody and see, okay, here's a phone number, I need to call this person, and it actually might keep the animal from ever needing to go into the shelter. But having said that, many animals lose their collars. They can come off. And having that permanent identification with a microchip is really, really important. It's a wonderful backup. So I think the two together is critical.
Some people say that while microchips are effective and helpful, that there are also risks involved, specifically that they can cause, that they can lead to tumors. Is there any truth to that?
You know, you hear from time to time people discussing the issue of whether or not the implantation of a microchip might cause cancer. And certainly from the studies that I've seen and from the information we have, there's really no proven link there. There's anecdotal information. There have been rare case reports where people have tried to make an association, but oftentimes vaccinations are given in the same location as a microchip, and you don't really know which one might be associated with it. We know that genetically there are some animals that may be predisposed to getting cancer, and to say 100% sure a microchip could never cause cancer, I would never go that far. But having said that, my own pets are microchipped. I have implanted hundreds of animals with microchips and feel very, very comfortable doing that. I think the benefit from them in terms of helping to assure that animals may get back home is much, much more important than that very, very remote risk that potentially it could be linked with cancer.
Now, I've heard a lot about dogs and cats getting microchipped, but what about other animals, birds or ferrets or other animals that people might have around the house as pets?
You can microchip other animals, and we commonly do. And so birds are done in the pectoral muscles, and ferrets can be done, rabbits. It is fairly common.
If I have pets that don't have microchips and that I would like to get them microchipped, how do I get that done? What do I need to do?
So if you want to get your pet microchipped, the best thing to do is contact your veterinarian. Veterinarians are still the primary source of a placement of microchips for owned animals, and it can really be done at a fairly reasonable cost. And remember, you do that and you have it, and it's going to last the lifetime of your pet. The last thing that I would also say related to that is the key thing for owners to remember is that a microchip is only as good as the information that you provide the company that tracks the database, and you keep your information current. So it's really, really important that when you move, you change your cell phone number, anything like that, that you call the registry and you change that information. Because without that, they may try to find you and your phone's been disconnected, and there's nothing more disheartening to know there's an owner associated with a microchip but not being able to find them.
Well, that's a great point, and probably the key message we want to get out on Check the Chip Day. So thank you for that, adding that. And Dr. Lord, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
For more information about microchips and Check the Chip Day, visit the AVMA's website at avma.org. For AVMA Animal Tracks, I'm Michael Sanfilippo. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.